We're going to John. John chapter 12. Does anyone actually have a physical Bible? That's not your iPhone. John chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot. Any pregnant women in the house today? You want an idea on a baby name? Judas Iscariot? No go? Okay. Who was later to betray him objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. I'm going to talk with you today from the subject, let our worship. Let our worship. God, I thank you right now that you'd speak to us. We want to hear from you on this Palm Sunday. Our hearts are receptive. Our minds are alert. Our ears are open. We want to hear a word from you today. So speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. When you think of worship, what comes to mind? Most people think, well, isn't that what we just did? It's when there's the music and there's the singing. Like, you look at how people worship. There are the hands in the pocket people. Like, my hands ain't ever coming out. They're staying in here. Oh, there's the hands folded, you know. Then you have those who decide to actually do something with their arms. And these are like, it's like the, it's the hold the TV. I'm holding a TV. Oh, come on. And then you like decide to get crazy and you go, okay, big TV. You know that? And then there's those who like go to the next level. Maybe you're a fisherman or fisherwoman and you're like, I caught a fish this big. And then you become a liar and you're like, I caught a fish. Right? And then eventually you work your way up to the goalposts. Do we have any goalpost people here? Anyone goalpost but with heartburn? You know? Anyone like heartburn's really bad? Two hands? And then eventually it ends with the Mufasa. Worship. How do you worship? What if worship is not just what takes place when there's music and singing? What if worship is a lifestyle? Let our worship. Today's Palm Sunday. And we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And by this point, Jesus was like a celebrity. He was a big deal because Lazarus had been raised from the dead. All of these miracles. People wanted to see Jesus. Oh, here comes Jesus. 2 weeks ago on Sunday night when Ian and I were flying out of LAX. Red eye. It was later. And right by the airplane, a car pulls up. And you know, it's like, okay, this is going to be a celebrity being driven on the tarmac. Out of the car gets this girl with purple hair. She's carrying a baby. And everyone's like, who is this? She's got her little bit of an entourage. You all turn into owls. Who? Apparently, it was Ozzy Osbourne's daughter. What's her name? Kelly Osbourne. It was Kelly Osbourne. Nobody asked for her signature or her autograph. By that point, they're like, I hope that little baby's not sitting by me on this red-eye flight. But here comes Jesus. I wonder, I've got to get Jesus' autograph because Jesus is a big deal. Jesus came in on a donkey. People were laying down palm branches. People were cheering. They were shouting, Hosanna. There's a difference between applauding and worshiping. There's a difference between applauding for who you want Jesus to be and who you think Jesus is and what you think Jesus is going to do and worshiping who Jesus really is. So I wonder if this crowd really understood who Jesus was or what he was going to do, because they thought he was going to overthrow the Roman government. They were cheering him on because they thought, here comes our Savior who's going to conquer. They didn't realize that conquering meant a cross. Sometimes I don't know if we realize what's going on because we get caught up in the crowd. When there's a crowd, it seems like more is going on than there is. Ian and I, on our trip, there would be a crowd, and because there's a crowd, you think something's happening. You just walk over to the crowd. What are we all looking at? What's happening? There's a crowd. It must be significant. A crowd can bring hype, but Jesus came to bring true hope. And so they were there and they were applauding and they were cheering, but were they really worshiping? Just before that, there was a true moment of worship. You see, Jesus was at a dinner. I love this. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. Jesus came for a relationship. Like, if Jesus were alive today, he'd be like, hey, where are we going out to eat after? You want to go grab some coffee tomorrow morning? Do you like golf? Can we golf together? Jesus was so relational. It's amazing how we make this whole thing transactional. When Jesus wants it to be relational, we make it about, well, we think Jesus wants this from us, and Jesus, if you want this from me, then you got to do this for me. It's like, Jesus just wants to spend time. Jesus just wants to spend time with you. That is so humbling. That is amazing. Jesus, he's like, I just want to spend some time. And there's this dinner that is taking place. It's in honor of Jesus. Do our actions honor Jesus? Do our gifts honor Jesus? Do how we live our lives, does that honor Jesus? Sometimes people are like, I just want to know God's will on this decision. Is it God's will for me to do this, or is it God's will for me to do that? Do you want to know a filter I use to help discern what God wants? Use this filter. Does it honor God? Should I do this or should I do that? Does it honor God? What kind of husband should you be? Does it honor in a way that honors God? What kind of worker should you be in a way that honors God? And so this dinner was in honor of Jesus. Now the dinner was most likely at Simon the leper's house. You see, we know this according, I think Mark in his gospel account tells us that it's at Simon the leper's house. Actually, Simon is no longer a leper. He's the former leper. Oh, at this table, Lazarus, the dead man, is there. Well, he's not dead anymore. He's the former dead man. If you look around this room, you will see someone who's an addict. Wait, hold on. They're not an addict anymore. They're the former addict. You're going to look at someone else who was hopeless, lost in depression, discouraged. Wait, not anymore. That's their former self. You see, Jesus meets us as we are. But he doesn't leave us as we are. We don't transform in order to follow Jesus. We transform and change as we're following Jesus. So you got this dinner that's taking place. And Martha was there serving, making all of it happen. Martha's like my mom. My mom's sick right now. her and my dad are sick. They're like, last Sunday was so much. And they're both, they've been sick since Tuesday. But my mom, whenever we have family dinners, the house is clean because of my mom. The table is set because of my mom. There's food that is prepared because of my mom. Dishes are going to be done because of my mom. My mom is so much like Martha, who's there and is serving. You know that we have Marthas here at this house, at this church? I know you come and it's all just set up and organized and people helping you park, but we got Marthas here. I said, pull up a few Marthas for me. So they have a few pictures. This is Richard, who serves on the Connect team. We have the best amazing servant leaders. Who else we got? Richard's amazing. We have Giselle, who serves on the greeter team. Who else do we have? We also have Herb in the parking team. You don't ever have to wonder if you met Herb. You know you met Herb. He is... We have the most, I could mention more and more people, that this doesn't just happen, that there are people who are serving. You see, Lazarus could not have been at the table with Jesus if Martha had not been preparing it. So many people come here and they get to sit at the table with Jesus. They get to get into the presence of Jesus because we have Marthas, because we have servant leaders, because we have volunteers. In order for us to reach more people, though, we need other people to sign up. You can be a Martha too. You can serve. Everyone has an area that you can serve and that you can make a difference. It's not what we want from you, it's what we want for you, because you develop so many great relationships along the way. And so Martha is setting all that up because she's serving. We don't serve other people because of who they are. We serve because of who we are. Also, because Martha's serving, her sister Mary is there as well, but Mary's not serving, and Mary comes and falls at the feet of Jesus. This is the first time, or the third time. That's Jesus, by the way. So he's just making sure that you're in church. So wants to make sure that the appointment, you know, still says. So. This is the third time that Mary's at the feet of Jesus. The first time she was at the feet of Jesus was teaching. And so she's just taking it in. She's just taking in this teaching. The second time she was at the feet of Jesus, she was pouring out her pain because her brother Lazarus had died. And it was, if you were only here at his feet. She is pouring out her pain at the feet of Jesus. I am so glad that we have a Savior, that we can sit at his feet and we can learn truth and we can discover what Jesus has to say. I'm also glad we have a Savior who's not afraid of our hurt, who's not afraid of our pain, that we can just get at the feet of Jesus and pour out our disappointment, our hurt, our despair. And this is now her third time at Jesus' feet. I'm not a fan of feet. Like, I don't know about you, but I think feet are ugly. I know you go get a pedicure, but feet are ugly. Some are just uglier than others. I remember being a kid and seeing my grandparents' feet and seeing their toenails and being like, this is some sci-fi movie going on here. You got like aliens growing out of your toes? What is happening right now? This is just disgusting. Like, feet are gross. In the Middle East, so many of the people were wearing sandals, so their feet were extra gross. Ian was like, I really want to get some sandals. I'm like, no, cover the feet. Keep the feet covered. Feet are gross. Sometimes Lindsay's like, oh, it's been a long day. My feet are hurting. Can you rub my feet? I'm like, I turn into meatloaf. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. It's like, but they hurt really bad. Well, maybe if you leave your socks on. But she's at the feet of Jesus. Do you remember James and John were arguing not about being at the feet of Jesus. James and John were arguing about being at the right and the left hand of Jesus. They were the disciples, the followers of Jesus, and they were concerned about a place of prestige. And Mary falls at the feet of Jesus, the place of a servant. The humility that's there. She falls at his feet. And then she lets her hair down. Now, you may not understand, but let me provide some context. That at that time, a Jewish woman would not be seen in public with her hair down. No proper woman would do that. And she lets her hair down. Come on, some of you won't even come to church if you're having a bad hair day. There's someone joining online right now, and you woke up and you worked on your hair so long, and it was just a bad hair day. I can't be around people today. My wife is amazing, but she's low-key high maintenance. Let me explain. You know where she gets her hair done? At the nearby city of Carlsbad. I'm not even joking, people. It's like 2 hours each way to get her hair done. Well, she'll tell you, well, because in Chicago, the place she went to had two other locations. One was in Las Vegas and one is in Carlsbad because the owners of the place had a beach house in Carlsbad. So that's 2 hours each way. We're all like, come on, is this a good hair day, a bad hair day? I'm just glad I still have some hair. I was so concerned. And she lets her hair down. A proper woman would not do that. As I'm talking today about let our worship, I'm calling on us to worship on a deeper level, to take our worship and elevate it. And so I want you to consider three things. The first thing for all you note takers, or soon to be note takers, in 5, 4, 3, 2, let our worship not care what other people think and not be concerned with how we look. Isn't it amazing how often we're so concerned with how we look? If you're to be honest, how many times did you look in the mirror this morning? And then you can ask your significant other if that's accurate. We're so concerned. I'm not saying don't be concerned with that, but we're so concerned with how we look. We're so concerned with others think. And so we limit our worship and we keep our hands in our pocket. Or maybe we just go to, hold the TV. Or we're so limiting falling at the feet of Jesus, because that would be a humbling. That would seem humiliating to be at the feet of Jesus. I want to be at his right hand. I want to be at his left hand. What are other people going to think about me? What if we worship in such a way where we don't care what other people think? We don't care how we look. Some of us don't even want to give other people a hug because we're worried it might mess up our hair. And yet here we have Mary at the feet of Jesus. And then she does something unusual. She pulls out perfume. And rather than only putting it on his head, she might have started on his head, but she goes to his feet. That would not have been done. Such an unusual act. Where would she learn about such unusual acts? Well, if you read about Jesus, you see Jesus had all these unusual acts. Jesus came across a person who was blind. Jesus spit on the ground, made mud, put it on the dude's eyes. That is unusual. Yet we come every Sunday and we just want to do the usual thing. We want to keep everything usual. Same old, worship like we always were. Do what we always do. What if we get unusual with our worship? This is unusual because she puts the perfume on his feet. And then she takes her hair and she begins to wipe his feet. At that time with sandals, it would have been dirty. This would have been like, what is she What is she doing right now? Mary, this is not appropriate. This is not proper. This seems extreme. Let our worship not only not be concerned with what other people think and with how we look, but second, let our worship be lavish. And what? And fill every space, every room we enter. What are we talking about here? Because as Mary began to, do you have the, this is Lindsay's perfume right here. Ladies, is this nice? Is this expensive? It's called Chance by Chanel. I went to spray it, and this is how you do it. And I was like, nothing was coming out because it's gone. So when I asked her to use it as an illustration, I think she was using this as an illustration, like, you can give me something. Here you go. I need some more. Right? Like spraying it. If you sprayed it, like the fragrance, it said, filled the room. The fragrance filled the room. One of the things I noticed in the Middle East is that they love fragrances. You're like, how do I know that? Because in the Dubai Mall, which is four stories, has an ice skating rink, you can ski there. There's an aquarium. It's like, hey, I'm walking through the mall and there's a shark. But they have so many fragrance stores. And so the hotels all have a smell. And you go in and there's a fragrance. What is the fragrance of this house? What is the fragrance of your house? Sometimes we're just so concerned about but what we do, how we worship gives off a fragrance. That we can worship in such a way to fill the room. This act of worship. And you would think people would be like, whoa, this Mary really loves Jesus. Mary, this is, do you know Judas starts criticizing her? It's not closed, so you might accidentally spray yourself. Nice catch. Judas starts criticizing her. We live in a world of critics. Why? Why? Why was that not sold and the money given to the poor? Why? You should have. Now, this perfume was worth a year's wages. Would anyone today like to give to the church the equivalent of a year of your wages? Anyone, just stand up. You can, The recent study from the Barna Group, which is studies churches at large, said that less than 10% of church-going people, consistent church attenders. I'm not talking about someone who just comes every once in a while, once a month, twice a month. They say of the consistent ones, less than 10% still give 10%. That more churches now are looking at for-profit entities to just be able to move forward into the future. And here you give Mary given 100%. What? And Judas, you shut up. Judas started it. The other disciples joined in. Yeah, you should have. You should have. You're wasting that. Has anyone ever told you you're wasting your time with church? You're wasting your time reading the Bible? Oh, you're serving on Sundays? You're wasting your Sundays. You should sleep in, get some rest. You're wasting it. Go play pickleball. Here she is, and she's being criticized. Here's what I found. When people give their all to Jesus, they are misunderstood and they are criticized. I find myself sometimes criticizing people like that. Looking at some people like, wow, like they're a little too spiritual. Am I the only one? I'm a pastor. I'm looking at people, they're a little too spiritual. Think they love Jesus a little too much. That's a little extreme. Wonder if we've become so comfortable in our Christianity that we've stopped falling at the feet of Jesus and we just want to be at the right hand and we just want to be at the left hand. And And I would say, let our worship not only, number one, not be concerned with how we look or what people think. Not only, number two, be lavish and fill every room and every space that we enter. But number three, let our worship be costly and provoke criticism. You heard me. Provoke criticism as a compliment. You know, those that are really following God are the ones that are often criticized. To be able to provoke people, like, whoa, that is extreme. I think we need some people today who will fall at the feet of Jesus. Not be concerned with their image, not be concerned with being at a place of honor. And just say, I'm falling in a place of humility at the feet of Jesus. David wrote and David said that he would not give to God that which cost him nothing. Someone was going to give him the land to dedicate it to the Lord. It's like, no, I won't give God that which costs me nothing, a costly sacrifice. Can you imagine the fragrance of this space in a room full of people who are willing to fall at the feet of Jesus? Can you imagine the fragrance of this room with a group of people who are at the feet of Jesus, not concerned with what other people think, not concerned with how they look, who are committed to giving costly, not, okay, I'm going to take criticism, that's okay. Ooh, can you, the smell of that space.